Today is Friday, April 14th, 2017, and you are listening to A Mostly Accurate View Revolution Radio, breaking down the carefully constructed delusions of reality with ideas, discussion, and music. Thanks for listening, but don't forget to think. Bombing Syria. That's awesome. Doing it for humanitarian concerns. Dropped the biggest bomb in our arsenal in Afghanistan in some tunnels. That's awesome. Got warships on the surrounding the Korean Peninsula. That's even better, just in case. Just in case we got him there. Who's benefiting from this? Who's benefiting from all of this? Is it us? The people? Fat fucking chance. Alright guys, welcome to a special edition of A Mostly Accurate View. As always, I am your host, Richard Waite. Now, I hadn't really planned on doing an episode. So, a lot of you might have seen my post on Facebook, or might have read the post I made on amostlyaccurateview.com. Talking about stepping away from podcasting for a while, and we're still going to do that. We're going to step away altogether from A Mostly Accurate View. Well, not altogether. I'll still be doing it a little bit, mostly just writing and sharing content and whatnot. But we're gonna reimagine what we want to do here. I talked about it a couple different times on a couple different podcasts, a couple different posts. I've just been, you know, finding myself marching more and more and more left. Is that hum gone? That hum's gone. All right, good. There's a little hum. I don't know if you guys could hear it. I could hear it in my headphones. But I don't hear it anymore, so I think I got rid of it. All right, fantastic. But yeah, so just more and more left and becoming more and more far left and radicalized and militant about it, you know, for lack of better terms. I'm still loath to call it that just because of the negative connotations that most people have with that. But that's what all it is just negative connotations. It's people not understanding what radicalization really means. But regardless, so a mostly accurate view. I'm still gonna continue with it as far as, you know, a blog goes, and maybe even an occasional podcast episode here or there, just when the mood strikes me. As I explained on amostlyaccurateview.com, you can click on A Mostly Accurate Podcast, and it tells you there. That's where all the old episodes are going to be archived as well, including any new episodes that I do for AMAV. They'll all be put there. But if you know, some conversations, some topics come up that aren't going to be apropos for our new identity, whenever we figure out exactly what that's going to be, I'll do them on AMAV, either written or maybe a podcast here or there, but I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed doing podcasting. I've really enjoyed, talking about these things and my views on them and discussing them with you guys. So I don't want to stop doing that, but we're going to do it in a different way, I guess. Not like a different format so much, you know, still be podcasting, some video content, some written content. For the most part, it's going to be, we're going to sit down and get a set identity of what we want to do, we being Stormy and myself. She's not with me today, by the way, just in case you were wondering, because I didn't realize that I was going to do an episode until I started writing, and it was like, you know, I'm just going to have to do one today. So here we are. So that all being said, keep an eye out. We're going to, you know, we'll put a post on the AMAV Facebook page, on mostlyaccurateview.com, Twitter, all that. Keep an eye out. Once we figure out exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, we will, we'll let everybody know. And hopefully we'll have that, we'll be able to get that going within the next couple few weeks here. But in the meantime, so like I said, I wasn't sure that I was going to even do an episode until I sat down and started doing an episode, writing out about some things that were on my brain. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and do a recording for this one. So now I got my notes in front of me. So of course, going to talk about, our bombings. We've been bombing some people lately. Some places have been receiving, some munitions from us. So Syria, yeah. So we're bombing Syria, right? Well, an airstrip in Syria, and it wasn't even the actual runway. It was, blah, blah, blah. A lot of dumb things being said about Syria, and Syria in and of itself, the whole situation is kind of dumb. I mean, it's not dumb like, oh, this is just dumb. Like, it's just dumb. The situation is so, so stupid. And we've caused it. We've caused a lot of it. So here we are. We're bombing Syria for humanitarian concerns. We're so concerned about the humanitarianism in Syria that we're going to bomb them, right? Okay, so, I mean, you see where that just sounds just dumb in and of itself. But okay, well, no, it's the Assad regime. They're bad people. Got to take them out. And then we can help the Syrian people. This is how bombing them is helping humanitarian causes, because we're bombing Assad and his peoples. All right, so a chemical attack, right? A week or so ago was attributed to Assad. And we had to respond because, oh, the humanity. So it's a chemical attack, right? That people are automatically assuming was perpetrated by Assad. Without proof. They're assuming this without proof, simply because they're convinced that he used chemical weapons back in 2013, also without proof. And the only proof that anybody can come up with is media reports, right? So first of all, right, okay, so Assad's winning a war right now, right? He's winning a war. He's winning a war against ISIS, for Christ's fucking sake, right? And so now's a good time to break international law, drop chemical weapons on his own people, so that the entire West is now turned against him while he's winning a war. That none of that makes sense. It just doesn't make. Why would he do that? It doesn't make sense. Well, power. No, yeah, he's power hungry. If he's power hungry, then turning the people of the nation against him and the entire Western world seems like a bad plan. That's not just that in and of itself doesn't make any sense. But oh, whatever. Fine. I grant you that. So let's go back then to the oh well, I know he did because he did it before. Why wouldn't he do it again? He's done it before. Why wouldn't he do it again? Well, okay. So there was an investigation in 2013 into the 2013 chemical attack by the UN, that before it was completed was stopped. It was stopped. The investigation was stopped before it was completed by the UN. The UN was investigating, and the UN said, we're gonna go ahead and stop this. Well, I wonder why. Well, here's why. Because people believed it, and that was good enough to start beating the war drum. People believed it because the media narrative kept repeating it over and over and over and over. And so they wanted to keep that narrative, right? Because it was going to benefit certain people, not Assad and not the Syrian people, but people who wanted Assad out of the way and didn't give a shit about what had to happen to the Syrian people to make that happen. See, back in 2013, people were so certain that Assad dropped sarin gas in a suburb of Damascus, and they showed this evidence. They had some evidence, and they showed this evidence that it was Assad because they did a vector analysis to show where the rocket came from that had the sarin gas. And this vector analysis showed that there was a Syrian military base about 9 kilometers away from the attack site. And that was supposedly rock solid proof that Assad did it. Except there was a problem. Further analysis showed that the rocket used to deliver the sarin gas only had a range of about 2 kilometers. And that meant that the rocket came from within rebel-held territory. Well, why didn't they report this? Because facts get in the way of narratives sometimes, and they couldn't have anything getting in the way of this narrative, so they just kept saying, Assad did it, over and over and over again. Even with this contradictory evidence to the proof they supposedly had. But that's not all. So, an investigative journalist who you've never heard of because his reports contradict what they want the U.S. public to believe, a guy that goes by the name of Seymour Hersh, he demolished the entire Assad chemical weapons narrative in a report that wasn't published in the U.S. because they didn't want people to find out about it. And he had to go to London. He had to go to a London publisher to get the report out. And you know what that report said? It said that, in a weird fit of conscience, I guess, Obama actually did the right thing and didn't bomb someone, which is strange, considering how much he loved bombing people. He really did. He loved it. He dropped so many bombs that we fucking ran out of bombs. But Obama backed down from the whole red line stance with Assad because he actually listened to his military leaders who told him that attacking Assad would be unjustified. Chemical analysis of the sarin gas used in the 2013 attack didn't match up with the weapons that Assad had, and there was a whole slew of evidence that Hersh reported on that showed how sarin gas precursors were transported from Turkey to Syrian rebels, members of the al-Nusra Front, who are supposedly our allies in the Syrian fight, or were arming and funding them anyway, which means that not only did Assad not have this particular form of sarin gas, but that the U.S. actually paid for it because we're funding al-Nusra Front, and al-Nusra Front had the sarin gas that was dropped in 2013. Our buddy in Turkey, Erdogan, who would greatly benefit, he would benefit a great deal from Assad being deposed, helped out with that. He helped out with the Syrian rebels getting their hands on the sarin gas, or at least the things that they needed to create sarin gas. He helped out with that, Erdogan did. The Hersh report described in great detail the events that led up to the 2013 sarin attack and why Obama backed down from his red line stance, which is now being thrown around as a weakness. Because the media is still saying that Assad is responsible for that attack. We've got proof, we've got evidence that Assad was not responsible for that attack. And that is why Obama backed down from his red line stance. But now Obama was too weak with Assad. He should have stuck to his guns with the red line stance and you know, did a military intervention back then when he used them back then. But he didn't use them back then. It's just part of the narrative. So they're using this extremely false narrative. They're lying to you and to me and to the world. They're using this extremely false narrative as further proof that, of course, Assad is responsible for this attack because he did it before. When there is A, no proof that he did it before, B, no proof that he did it this time, and C, a shit ton of evidence that says he didn't do it in 2013, which means if that's your proof that he did it this time, means you have no proof that he did it this time. But, meh, facts. Who needs them? Look at these beautiful bombs. Let me tell you, not that I know from personal experience, but it seems pretty self-evident. The only way a bomb could ever be considered beautiful is if it's flying away from you and not at you. I'm pretty sure the Syrian people don't think those bombs are fucking beautiful. So here we are. We're bombing Syria for humanitarian concerns, because in this country we are so concerned about humanitarianism around the world. Humanitarian concerns. What about other humanitarian concerns? I mean, there's a whole lot to be concerned about when it comes to humanitarian causes all around the world. So there's a famine. There's a famine right now in Yemen, in famine in Yemen. There's a famine in Yemen right now. We've talked about this before. There's a famine in Yemen right now where 14.4 million Yemenis are food insecure, struggling to find enough to eat on a daily basis. 1.3 million Yemeni children are acutely malnourished. That means starving to death, people. Children are literally dying slowly and painfully of starvation. And the UN even says that this is the worst humanitarian crisis in the world right now. But the US media isn't reporting on that. And we aren't bombing the Yemeni government, at least not out of humanitarian concerns. No, actually, the Saudis, Saudi Arabia, is bombing Yemen. And that's what's causing this humanitarian crisis. And guess who is selling the Saudis their bombs? The U.S. We are. We are causing a famine. We are causing the biggest humanitarian crisis in the world right now. But we don't give a shit about that. Millions of people starving to death. And we're actually causing it. And because why? I don't know why. Why don't we give a shit about that? Because the media isn't feeding it to us with round-the-clock coverage, showing images of the dead and dying kids there, because the Saudis are our buddies. And we have a lot of business with them. And certain people make a lot of fucking money with them, so we don't want people to see how absolutely fucking awful the Saudis are, so we have our attention diverted willingly. We willingly let our attention be diverted by the media, which is inexcusable. In the technological age, in the age of information, when we can find shit out instantly with the click of a mouse, we willingly let our attention be diverted by lies and false narratives, and we justify bombs dropped in Syria because we're doing the right thing. Meanwhile, millions of children are starving to death, and we are a direct cause of that, but meh, fuck them. We can feel good about ourselves because we are allowing ourselves to believe that Assad is an evil man doing evil shit, and we're doing what should be done to evil men. Humanitarian concerns. Humanitarian concerns. While we're on the subject of just how awful the Saudis are and how we fool ourselves into believing that we're dropping bombs in places for humanitarian concerns, why don't we bomb the Saudis? Decades now. It's been going on for decades. People get murdered for being gay in Saudi Arabia. Sodomy is a crime punishable by execution. And Even though there haven't been any official reports of that particular punishment, Saudi Arabia is basically ISIS that made it big, and that nation is ruled under Sharia law, so it probably still happens. But even if it doesn't, people are still put into prison for it, and just because the ruling class doesn't murder people, they still do. Yeah, just not through official channels. There's no way you're going to convince me that a nation ruled under Sharia law, a nation that actually has the death penalty on the books as a punishment for homosexuality, doesn't murder gays. It does. Go by official reporting if you want to. That shit happens. It happens in Iraq, we know that for sure, and if it happens there, it happens in the other countries that have the death penalty for homosexuality. But even still, Saudi Arabia, women are stoned to death in the streets for disobeying their husband, for breaking adultery laws. The men get punished too for that, but they don't get stoned to death. Women get punished for being in public without a man, for driving cars, for showing their ankles, for reading, for learning, for living up to their potential as human beings. They get punished for being anything but a subservient slave to the men in the country. Nah, not concerned about it. Humanitarian concerns don't bother us when it's a business partner that's doing it. But homosexuals aren't murdered there anymore. They're just in prison. As if that's any better. But let's look elsewhere. How about Chechnya, right? I posted this a few days ago on Facebook. You might have seen it. Chechnya is rounding up gay men and putting them in prison camps. What? Fucking concentration camps for gay men. And call them what you want. Labor camps. Prison camps. We know what they are. They're fucking concentration camps. And they're being brutally beaten and tortured and murdered in these camps. Why aren't we bombing Chechnya? If we need to bomb countries because of humanitarian concerns, why aren't we bombing the government installations in Chechnya? Russia is an enemy now. Or, I mean, I guess they always have been if you listen to the media. And Chechnya is a puppet state of Russia, right? That's why we're arming and supporting the Ukrainian resistance. Shouldn't we do the same in Chechnya? What, does Chechnya not have humans? Are they not human beings in Chechnya? If we are concerned about humanitarianism, shouldn't we be defending humans everywhere in the world and not just in Syria? How about in Angola, where they've been doing that same thing for years? How about any of the other countries? Hell, Russia has been extremely anti-LGBTQ as of late. Why don't we use that as another reason to heighten tensions with them if we're so goddamn concerned about humanitarian causes? Oh, but I guess it's when it's just women being brutalized and murdered and gay men being tortured to death, that's not really a big deal, huh? I mean, we're in Syria because of the children, right? That's what the Cheeto Mussolini said. I saw the beautiful babies and it made me feel bad. As if the guy who was bragging about having the tallest building in New York after 9/11 gives a fuck about anybody dying. But he said, we have to bomb them because think about the children, those beautiful children. So it's really bad when it's children. I mean, it's bad when it's women and gay men, but when it's children, it's really bad. And that's why we have to bomb them? Okay. I mean, okay, we could go back to Yemen, but I think I made my point about Yemeni children, and there are other things we can look at. So, child sex trafficking rings, and there's a lot of them getting busted lately. Pedophile rings that sometimes lead up to some pretty high people getting exposed and arrested. Now, look, I'm not a Pizzagate conspiracy theorist. Now, I'm not saying that that whole Pizzagate thing isn't possible, and if it turned out to be true, I honestly wouldn't be surprised about it. But I don't need any of that, and I don't need to talk about any of that to see that child sex trafficking is a huge problem all over the world. And it isn't just sick pedos in basements. There's reports from, and not from so-called fake news websites, And who the fuck determines what is or is not fake news anyway? People who don't believe something will call it fake news simply because it doesn't fit their narrative. Forget the Pizza Hut. Forget the Pizzagate thing. It happens in regular fucking conversation now. You got people who will literally look at a news report and say it's fake just because it doesn't fit their narrative. And then they'll use a news report that does fit their narrative from the exact same fucking source. So fake news is now just another thing people can say to try and delegitimize anything that doesn't fit their worldview and doesn't disrupt their carefully crafted echo chamber. And that's real dangerous, man, because as we can see with the 2013 Hirsch report on Syria, sometimes the sources you think you can trust will leave something out, because it doesn't fit with what they want you to believe. And you might miss some actual, vital, factual information. If it's required to go through some source that you aren't familiar with, who in the U.S. has ever even fucking heard of the London Review of Books? That's where Hirsch was forced to go to get his report published. And not a lot of people have heard about it because of that very reason. So we can see how the media can form a narrative by reporting certain things over and over and over again and ignoring other things completely when those things don't fit the narrative. And now we're bombing Syria because of lies, just like Iraq. We were lied to about Iraq, and we've been bombing the fuck out of them for 15 fucking years, and now we're being lied to about Syria, and now we're bombing them too. Back to the pedo rings. So there's pedo rings getting busted all over the world. Thousands of arrests. Hundreds of children freed from sexual slavery. Don't hear a goddamn peep about it in the corporate mainstream media. Why? Because we aren't bombing them. We aren't bombing these pedo rings. And the corporate media supports bombing because the corporations make the bombs. So we can't really sell anything by reporting on pedo rings being busted, because we don't need to bomb them. And it's always about the money. But you don't have to take my word for it. You know, on your Google page, you have a search bar at the top, right? And that's where you enter your search inquiry, right? And under that, there's a couple filters. There's a few filters. The default filter is all. And that's generally as far as people go. Google puts the most popular or relevant results as determined by their algorithms right there for you. And depending on what you search, chances are that you will find whatever it is you're looking for that's going to fit your narrative. So how many of you actually put the opposite of what you're looking for in that search bar? Like, if you're trying to find something written about how communism is bad, for example, you'll put, you know, communism bad, or article on how communism is bad in your little search bar, and that's what you're going to find. And do you ever think that maybe it might be beneficial to read something from an opposing viewpoint, get a better understanding of both sides of the argument? Try putting article on how communism is good in there instead. Guess what? You'll get some search results that are going to be articles written about how communism is good. It's crazy, right? It's crazy. So somewhere next to all, you'll find news. Ever notice that your Google search will sometimes give you some old ass articles as the most relevant? It's because it's looking for what is most relevant to your search terms, no matter how old it is. So that article that you found that confirms your bias, well, you could be missing some much more recent and relevant information. So next time, click on the News tab. And usually that's going to give you the most recent articles that Google can find on the subject. Yes, it'll still use your search terms, but it'll look for articles that contain your search terms, and those articles might not always confirm your bias. See, rather than looking for things that are geared towards your search, it looks for things that contain information about your search, whether the information given is in agreement with your bias or not. That news tab is your friend. That is, if you want to view things objectively and look for truth on issues, or as close to the truth as you're going to get, you get a lot closer to the truth that way than you will from any CNN report positively orgasming over the beauty of bombs raining down freedom on people. Now, of course, if your goal is to remain trapped in your confirmation bias, and you don't want your cozy little echo chamber disturbed, you're not going to do that. But then again, if you're looking for confirmation of your biases, you're not listening to this right now anyway. So child sex trafficking rings, right? Pedo rings, right? So we're going with our newly discovered ability to properly use Google to find information that isn't necessarily in line with what we already want to hear or believe. Now, so we can find all kinds of recent news from the World Wide Web. That's what the WWW stands for. It's the World Wide Web because it's global. And yet you think that looking at CNN articles and MSNBC videos is doing research. There's a lot more information out there. So we can find all the most recent news from the World Wide Web by doing a Google search under news instead of under all. So forget Pizzagate, and forget whatever you want to think is fake news websites, and let's just take a look-see at what pops up, shall we? All right, let's see here. Google search, all right, child sex trafficking ring busted. First hit is from March 31st, 2017. That's 2 weeks ago. This is from CBS Los Angeles. It says, global sex trafficking ring busted. Second hit, April 7th, 2017, 1 week ago, from NBC Southern California, says two arrested, three teenage girls rescued. Third hit, April 7th, 2017, 1 week ago, from NBC4i.com. Let's see what it's in. That's a local NBC affiliate in Ohio, says Toledo. Two Toledo pastors arrested for sex trafficking children. Right, now the next two hits are talking about the same case as that first hit. It ends up being about a trafficking ring that was operating in Minnesota and in California. Those were where the busts were actually made. But it also says that the ring was operating in 29 states. But that's not really what I wanted to point out. What I wanted to point out was that the names that these two hits come from. One is the site of Grand Forks Herald, which is a local news source, but it's not a very recognizable name for those who don't live in the Twin Cities area. And the other is a site called NextShark.com. NextShark. Next Shark. What? Next Shark? That doesn't really sound like a news site, does it? At least not a legitimate one. And if there was something on Next Shark about, say, I don't know, Hillary's email controversy, it would be easily written off as fake news just from the name. However, the Next Shark article is reporting on the very thing that first one was from. What was that from? NBC? Yeah. Or CBS. Excuse me, CBS. It's reporting on the very same thing. So it's not fake news. It's coming from a website called NextShark, and it's not fake news. Well, okay, but yeah, there's syndication, and sometimes they just, you know, get, they'll copy-paste articles just for clicks. It's clickbait. That's what it is. Man, it's the thing about it is that the Next Shark article appeared on March 30th, a day before the CBS article, about the very same thing. So, next time you see something that doesn't have a recognizable name for a news source, think twice before you just write it off as fake news or an illegitimate source. Now, it might very well be. It might very well be fake news. It might very well be an illegitimate source. But double check it. Check into it. Don't just look at it and say, well, it's not CNN, it's not CBS, it's not Fox, it's not MSNBC, it's not these other big name news sources, so it must be fake. It's got to be fake. Fake news. That's not always true. As we can see, a lot of times those legitimate news sources don't report things that should be reported, like the Hirsch report. Other times, those sources that might seem like fake news or illegitimate are actually giving you real stories. So double check things. Don't just have a bias against it because it's not your favorite three or four or five letters strung together. Still, I want to go a little further with this, but I'm going to take a quick break, guys. Take a quick break. Be right back in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to go over some more things that might make you think twice about our reasons for being in Syria. Stay tuned.
Terror is a bunch of bullshit, just a poor excuse for you to use up all your bullets. How much money does it take to really make a full clip? 9/11 building 7, did they really pull it? And a bunch of other cover-ups. Your child's future was the first to go with budget cuts. If you think that hurts, then wait, here comes the uppercut. The school was garbage in the first place, that's on the up and up. Keep you at the bottom, but tease you with the upper crust. You get it, then they move it, so you never keeping up enough. If you turn on TV, all you see is a bunch of what the fucks. Dude is dating so-and-so, blabbering about such and such. And that ain't Jersey Shore, homie, that's the news. And these the same people supposedly telling us the truth. Limbaugh is a racist, Glenn Beck is a racist. Gaza Strip was getting bombed, Obama didn't say shit. That's why I ain't vote for him. Next one either. I'm a part of the problem. My problem is I'm peaceful, and I believe in the people. Yeah. It's a heard it, but if we know better, then we probably deserve it. Jihad is not holy war, where's that in the worship? Murdering is not Islam, and you are not observant, and you are not a Muslim. Israel, don't take my side, cause look how far you've pushed them. Walk with me into the ghetto, this where all the kush went. Complain about the liquor store, but what you drinking liquor for? Complain about the gloom, but when'd you pick a broom up? Just listen in the pot, ain't gon' make it stop. A rebel in your doubts, ain't gon' make it out. If you don't become an actor, you'll never be a factor. Pills with million side effects, take them when the pain's felt. Wash them down with diet soda, killing off your brain cells. Crooked banks around the world would gladly give a loan today. So if you ever miss a payment, they can take your home away.
Yeah. silence is worse than all the violence. Fear is such a weak emotion, that's why I despise it. We're scared of almost everything, afraid to even tell the truth. So scared of what you think of me, I'm scared of even telling you. Sometimes I'm like the only person I feel safe to tell it to. I'm locked inside a cell in me, I know that there's a gel in you. Consider this shit belling out, so take a breath and hell a few. My screams is finally getting free, my thoughts is finally yelling down.
All right, so I've been going over a little bit of examples of how sometimes what you might think is fake news isn't always fake news. So you might be saying, well, but Richard, aren't you saying that these things aren't being covered in the news? You're giving examples of them being covered right now. Well, that's valid, except when you think about the fact that this bust was made over 2 weeks ago, and it's being called the most sophisticated sex trafficking ring ever by one of the investigators, and it's not just local, but it's in 29 states, so you would think that this is national news. But it's only being covered by local affiliates and on websites like NextShark. And in fact, many of the sex slaves were trafficked in from China. So really, this is international news. And you think it might get covered on the national cable news networks like CNN or MSNBC, but it isn't. And all we hear is Trump this and Syria that and Putin and Russia and hacking and Devin Nunes and Trump and Ivanka and Mar-a-Lago. And that's all we ever hear. And that's all most people ever hear. So things like this go unnoticed. So now think about this. If we just busted a huge, sophisticated sex trafficking ring in our own backyard, one that has international ties, and we didn't hear about it, how much of that is going on in the rest of the world? And we don't hear about it. And all we ever hear about is, oh, Syria, the humanity, we have to bomb them. Meanwhile, we have actual slavery, human fucking slavery, happening right here. And all over the world. And what are we doing about that? Well, we're not bombing them, that's for sure. Well, but you can't just bomb them. You'll murder innocent people. Tell that to the innocent people that our drone strikes have been murdering for years. Don't act like we give a shit about murdering innocent people. We don't. We only care about, oh, the children, oh, the humanity, when it suits our narrative. Here's another case in point. Boko Haram. Kidnapping girls. I posted about this too. Well, I posted a meme, but it made the point quite nicely. I thought anyway. I said, hey, you remember that time we were so concerned about humanitarian causes that we went and bombed Boko Haram for kidnapping almost 300 schoolgirls? Yeah, me neither. Because why? Because we don't give a shit about those children. They're in Africa, and Nigeria doesn't have any oil, and we're not trying to run a pipeline through Nigeria. Let someone find a reason. Let someone find a reason to run a pipeline through Nigeria, and it'll make some money for an American billionaire or a multinational corporation. We'll be in there bombing Boko Haram before we're even done rescuing those girls, which we'll never be done doing because we aren't fucking trying to rescue those girls. We're too busy trying to bomb Syria for bombing Syria so we can teach Syria not to bomb Syria. Boko Haram took almost 300 girls. They still have almost 200. And they've had those girls for over two fucking years, for almost 3 years now. And Nigerian officials are in talks with Boko Haram. Why don't we go bomb them? If we're that concerned about humanitarianism, just going to let the Nigerian government negotiate with them, not going to step in and show people who would harm others that we won't stand for people harming people. Fucking right here in the U.S., people starving, people homeless, people dying because they can't afford medical care, people being beaten and murdered in the streets by fascist police, land taken by force for the benefit of corporate interests, fraudulent elections, media manipulation, oppression at the hands of the ruling class to benefit the ruling class capitalist pigs. Are we bombing the people responsible for that? No, we're murdering the victims instead. Humanitarian concerns. No one gives a shit about those other humanitarian concerns. The crises all over the world, and even right here in our backyard. The media certainly doesn't report on pedo bus. There's fucking rioting in Venezuela right now. Bombs equal ratings. Fucking Brian Williams, the big beautiful bombs of freedom. Goddamn Fareed Zakaria, Trump became president last night. Got Arizona Representative Trent Franks called it an arsenal of freedom. Sarin gas is awful. It's evil. And it deserves a response. But the bomb, the biggest bomb we have, the one that will literally incinerate you, that's a tool of good, of righteousness. And he was talking about Afghanistan and the Moab, and we'll get to that. But that's what he said. An arsenal of freedom. Fucking fascist nationalism just dripping from his scummy face. And people are eating it up. So no, don't give me this, but think about the children horse shit. This isn't about humanitarian concerns, and it never was. We're bombing Syria for one reason, and one reason only. Money. That's it. Assad doesn't want the pipeline that our allies want. So we have to get rid of him. And that's all it's ever been about. Ever. Ever. Money. That's it. Our government murders people and sends its own people to die so rich fucks can make more fucking money. And there is never any other reason. Ever. Is humanitarianism the reason behind the Russia, Russia, Russia narrative? Why are they pushing us to bomb places or to heighten tensions or to create warlike environments all over the place, all of the time? I'll tell you why. It's the fucking money. Defense contractors only make money during wartime, and we are perpetually in wartime. If we aren't dropping bombs, we don't need to buy more. And if we don't need to buy more, they don't get paid for making more. So they push for more war and more conflict. They donate millions to our politicians, so the politicians try to keep them happy by increasing their business. And how do you increase the business of bomb makers? You use bombs. How do you use bombs? You fucking bomb people. It's always about the money. And that's why we're so quick to create a narrative in order to justify dropping bombs. The USA is fucking in love with dropping bombs on people. It's part of our national pride. It's in the goddamn national anthem. The lights from rockets and explosions throughout the night showed that our flag was still standing. Think about the picture that creates, the mental dramatic romance that the U.S. flag loves bombs. And if we're American, we have to love bombs too, because bombs gave us our freedom. So bombs will give other people their freedom too. We for some reason believe that dropping bombs on people is protecting freedom. How exactly is that? We drop bombs, kill innocent civilians, destroy homes and schools and hospitals, make thriving nations inhabitable, and then turn away the people that are fleeing that death and destruction because we're scared that they might be terrorists. And you know what? They might be. One out of every 100,000 of them might be. Or one out of every 500,000. Or one out of every million. We don't know, but it ain't a lot. But we deny entry to all of them because they might be terrorists that we fucking created when we dropped our bombs on them. You know what that does? Creates more terrorists. And then we strip away civil liberties of our own citizens because we're fighting radical Islamist extremism. So we create terrorists by bombing people, create more terrorists by not giving them refuge, strip away civil liberties so that we can fight the terrorists that we created, and that is defending freedom? How the fuck does that work? We deny people the right, the ability to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in foreign nations. We strip away civil liberties domestically. How the fuck does that guarantee peace and freedom anywhere? But this sick, twisted form of nationalism that people call patriotic has the U.S. public believing that we are righteous in our bombing and destruction, that we're doing the right thing, that we're bringing liberty and freedom and democracy to the world. Bullshit. It's all about the money. It's always all about the money. It's never, ever about anything but the money. Ever. Turkey and Qatar and Saudi Arabia, they want to run a natural gas pipeline, and they need to go through Syria to do it. And Syria says no. Russia and Iran and Syria, they want to run a different pipeline. So we need to get rid of Assad and install a new government that will be more friendly with U.S. interests and the interests of U.S. allies and allow this pipeline to be put in. And that's what this whole thing is about. Seriously, that's all it is about. That's it. Humanitarian concerns my aching white ass. It's all about the fucking money. It's all about the capitalist imperialism. It's all about making sure our allies make a profit. Because if they make a profit, they have money to buy our weapons. It's always about the money. Always. You know what would be humanitarian? Stop fucking bombing everything. Trump just dropped the Moab, the mother of all bombs. Yeah, you know, Moab stands for something else. I don't remember what it is, and I don't give a shit. Go find it yourself if you really want to know. It doesn't matter. The Air Force calls it the mother of all bombs, so that's what I'm calling it, because the real name doesn't matter. It's the biggest bomb we have, the most destructive weapon that we have, short of a nuke. That's all that matters. And that's all that matters to Trump. It's the biggest bomb, makes the biggest boom. Let's show how powerful we are. They'll be shaking in their boots. The Moab has a blast radius of 1 mile. Think about that. That's a blast radius, not a diameter. That means that from the point of impact, 1 mile out in all directions from the point of impact, the Moab destroys everything. That's a 2 mile wide circle. And everything within that 2 mile circle is destroyed. And what did we drop it for? What did we drop it for? Well, officially, because ISIS. ISIS is supposedly using tunnels and caves in the area. So we dropped this bomb to ruin their day. So here's a few talking points from the official story about the Moab, as given to us by our government, warmongers, and their propaganda outlets. So the Moab was dropped on a network of fortified underground tunnels that ISIS had been using to stage attacks on government forces, and supposedly killed 36 ISIS fighters. At least 36 is what they're telling us. It was dropped. I'm gonna butcher this name. Dropped in the Nangarhar province. I don't think I butchered it too bad. Dropped in the Nangarhar province near the Pakistan border. And Pakistan is currently in a tiff with India, and we don't like Pakistan anyway, but that's not part of the official story. I just wanted to throw that in there, but the location is definitely part of the official story. So Nangarhar province, the blast destroyed 3 underground tunnels as well as weapons and ammunition, but no civilians were hurt. So we dropped the largest bomb in our arsenal to kill 36 ISIS fighters and destroy 3 tunnels and some weapons and ammunition. Jesus. The U.S. military previously estimated ISIS had 600 to 800 active fighters in the area, but it was unclear whether or not we had hoped to strike more fighters with this bomb. So 600 to 800, and we got 36 of them with the mother of all bombs. Military expert and author Peter Singer said, the Moab is a particular type of bomb best for a particular type of target, so you need that match. We made the Moab for this kind of target. The caves, I'm assuming, are out in the mountains in a very uninhabited spot, so you're not as worried about civilians. Because according to him, the biggest impediment to using the Moab more often is the risk to civilian life. I'm sorry, I misquoted that, or I misattributed that quote. Peter Singer said that the Moab is a particular type of bomb best for a particular type of target, so you need that match, and the biggest impediment to using it is more often is the risk to civilian life. Mark Kansian, the senior advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said we made the Moab for this kind of target. The caves, I'm assuming, are out in the mountain in a very uninhabited spot, so you're not as worried about civilians. Wait a second, though. This is weird because seems the official story, or the explanations we're getting anyway, nobody can really offer any details, any real details yet. Seems that it contradicts with something here. The first one is mostly uninhabited. Now, that province has around 95,000 civilians in it, or it did. Don't really know how many are left. Reports from the ground say that windows were blown out as far as a mile and a half away from the blast. Windows in homes. So how much damage was caused closer to the blast? How many homes were closer to the blast? How many people lived in those homes closer to the blast? And here's another one. Mark Kansian said, my guess is that we just didn't know where these tunnels were before. And this is his reason given for why the Moab and why now and why in Afghanistan. ISIS in tunnels, he says. And we didn't know where these tunnels were before now, he says. Well, that's bullshit. Those tunnels were built by the CIA for Al-Qaeda. We'd already bombed them before. Not that specific area, maybe, but we knew exactly where these tunnels were. The CIA funded them and helped build them when the Mujahideen were fighting the USSR in the 80s. You know, the same group that Osama bin Laden was fighting with. So why then? why then, or why there, and why now? Well, because Trump wants to look strong, and also that one bomb costs more than $15 million. And that's what it's always about. Money. Always. Why do we need to look strong? Why do the Islamic terrorists not think we're strong? They fight us because of our imperialism. They fight back because we are the bullies, the guys with the biggest stick in the sandbox. If we weren't already perceived as strong through our constant bombing and warring and funding of wars and perpetuation of wars, there wouldn't be nearly as many jihadists trying to kill us. Then what kind of logic does continuing to do the same things that piss them off make us safer? I'll tell you the logic. It's in the logic where safety isn't the point, and strength isn't the point, and humanitarian concerns aren't the fucking point. It's the logic that says, as long as there is fighting, there will be a demand for bombs and tanks and drones and guns, and we will make millions and billions of dollars, and people will die. And we don't care, because the more people that die, the more fighting there will be and retaliation, and we're going to make millions and billions more. When the fuck does it end? How does any of this encourage peace? So what, you think the Moab is going to scare Russia? Fuck you. They have the Foab, the father of all bombs. And it's bigger than the Moab. That's why it's called the Foab. It's 4 times bigger than the Moab, and it's incendiary. If the Moab is supposed to scare Putin, it doesn't. If it's supposed to scare ISIS, it doesn't. They know what we have. We've been dropping this shit on them for years. Not the Moab, but bombs and missiles. Does it really matter how big the missile is if it kills hundreds of people? They know what we have. We've been dropping this shit on them for years, and they keep coming. So, obviously, this isn't the answer. Unless it makes you rich, then it's always the answer. And since that's all it's ever about, capitalist imperialism, then that's always the answer. They just aren't asking us, because our answer isn't going to make them rich. Their answer makes them rich and makes us dead. Our answer makes us live, but they don't profit from that. So we keep dying, and they keep getting rich. Market capitalism. Market capitalism. You think war isn't a market? Bullshit. We sell weapons to whoever wants to buy them. They have demand. We have supply. That's a market. It's all for the money. Nothing more. Never is. I'm going to take another quick break. We're going to move on. When we get back, we're going to move on a little bit. Kind of the same thing, but we're going to talk about Korea a little bit. What can we do? What can we do? We'll talk about it. Be right back. Stay tuned.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone.
I want you to get mad.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Against the blood and hatred.
The ghost of Tom Jones.
All right, welcome back. So we've been talking about all these humanitarian concerns and how they're bullshit. The reasons that they give us for going and bombing people and how they're bullshit. How it's always all about the money. We got ships, warships heading to the Korean Peninsula just in case. They're already there, according to some accounts. Some reports say that the ships are already positioned off the Korean Peninsula just in case. Just in case of what? They test a weapon that we have and have tested? Why can't they test a weapon? Because their leader is unhinged? What do you think Trump is? And here's the thing. It's crazy, right? So since Trump started dropping bombs, the media has been all like, oh, he's making the right call. He's doing things. He's presidential now for dropping bombs. Do you not see how fundamentally fucked that is? And North Korea can't test their weapons because their leader is unhinged, while our unhinged leader becomes more hinged because he's dropping bombs on people. What the fuck kind of logic is this? So our leader was incompetent and unhinged, and then all of a sudden he starts dropping bombs on people, and now he's presidential. He's doing the presidential thing, dropping bombs, being strong, strong president. Strong president. But we can't have North Korea doing that because that guy's unhinged. And if he tests a bomb, well, that's a threat to us. Gotta neutralize that threat. I got an idea. How about fucking leave them alone? That's really mostly what they want. Lift economic sanctions because it's better to systematically starve a people than to bomb them, I guess. So raising tensions with Russia, with North Korea, dropping bombs in Syria, dropping bombs in Afghanistan, right? Who is this going to benefit? It's not going to make the U.S. any safer. It's not going to deliver democracy anywhere. It's not going to make the world any better. It's only going to make shit worse. So who does it benefit? The fucking defense contractors, that's who. The industrial construction contractors that'll go in and rebuild the country while they dig for oil while they're there. The energy companies that are going to be able to build their pipelines and have more access to the oil and gas in those areas because we're going to help rebuild their economy, except no, we aren't. We're going to take their shit. We're going to take their land and their resources, and we're going to sell it off in countries that have people that can afford to buy it, and none of that money will ever make it back into those countries where we took the land and the oil. Instead, it'll stay in the pockets of the millionaires and billionaires that are going to make a fucking killing off of this. A figurative and literal killing. And you wonder why the Islamic extremists hate us. Because we do this in every single one of their countries. If their country isn't friendly and let us do this, we bomb them until they do. Or we apply economic pressure. And we do it in the name of humanitarianism. Because slowly killing people through starvation is so much more humane. Syria is not about humanitarianism. Afghanistan is not about humanitarianism. None of it is about U.S. safety or delivering democracy. It's all about the money. It's always all about the money. Capitalism. It's capitalism, and it's going to kill us all. Unless we change it. We have got to change it. The ruling class isn't going to let us change it. We have got to rise up and take control. We have got to take back control, or we are fucking dead. And we have to do it by any means necessary. If we can do it peacefully, through political revolution or whatever, great, fantastic, do it that way. I prefer that, honestly, because we don't want any more people to die. But the ruling class is never going to let go of their power peacefully. I wish they would, because we literally don't have a fucking choice anymore. We cannot keep going on like this. We are destroying the planet, and it's not sustainable. The system is killing us, and it's not sustainable. So if we can do it peacefully, great, awesome, let's do it. Let's do it peacefully. But they aren't going to make it easy. It takes work. It takes involvement. It takes grassroots organizing. It takes community activism. It takes people talking about it and getting the message out and confronting people that have faulty worldviews and believe corporate media narratives. It takes people sharing truth, critical thinking, talking about new ideas, talking about old ideas that never got a fair shake. It takes protests. It takes protest in the streets. And yes, sometimes some windows are gonna get broken. Some shit is gonna get set on fire. And no, George fucking Soros isn't paying me to say that. It's going to take green initiatives and pressure, a lot of pressure, to abolish the use of fossil fuels. And I don't mean move away. I don't mean incrementally shifting from fossil fuel to green energy over 10 or 20 or 30 years. I mean a complete transition right fucking now. 100% renewable. Fossil fuel abolished completely from the entire planet. We have the technology. We have the know-how. We have the ability to do that. The oil industry doesn't want that, because they automatically go out of business. And so they pay our government to not let that happen. I don't give a shit how many jobs will be lost. The entire planet will be lost if we don't do that and do it now. Climate change, environmentalism, is the most important thing. Climate change is the single biggest threat to humanity the world over right now. Fuck Islamic terrorism. Fuck any sort of terrorism. Fuck North Korea testing nukes. None of that fucking holds a candle to the mass extinction that is coming for us. And for fuck's sake, we have got to stop bombing people. War is not the fucking answer for everything. Okay. Hey, you know, if we were no longer using fossil fuel, we wouldn't need a pipeline through Syria, and we wouldn't need to be in there bombing people. You realize that, right? It's always about the money. Always. It is always all about the money. Money is nothing but a social construct. It isn't even real. But we murder people and destroy the planet for it. Money is only as real as we make it, and we make it real by believing in it. It is not real. The value of money is all in our heads. That's it. We don't need it. We can exist without it. If money is the reason we destroy the planet and murder people, what if we all just all of a sudden stopped using money? We literally don't need it. And it's nothing but a way to control us. It's a tool of the capitalists. It isn't a necessary thing, but we are convinced that it is and that we can't live without it. And that's how they control us. And so many people believe that money is necessary, that it becomes necessary. I have to use it. I have to use it because everybody believes that it's necessary, but it literally is not necessary. It's literally not. It's an idea. And everybody wants this idea, this thing, this entity, this non-existent value that we don't need. Everyone wants it. And those who have a lot of it are able to control those who don't have a lot of it with promises of a little bit of it. We don't need to have a violent revolution. But if it happens, well, I'm not going to be surprised. What other option is there when any peaceful revolution is not allowed? What else are we going to do? I mean, we can have a social revolution. We can have a political revolution. We can have an economic revolution. But are they going to let us? It would take mass ideological shift, and it would have to include the ruling class. That's not going to happen. You think they're just going to step aside and say, yeah, you know, we've been being major dicks this whole time. Sorry about that. And you think they're going to relinquish their power peacefully? I mean, I wish that could happen, but I think we all know that that isn't really possible at this point. We tried it. A little bit, anyway. It would have been incremental, a lot more further left than anybody else would have brought us, but it still would have been incremental. But it would have been better. We'd be better off now. We tried it. Fucking Democrats. Goddamn idiot Democrats. And we'll still try, though. We'll still try. We'll still try to do it politically and economically, and, you know, we're going to keep on pushing. We're going to keep bashing our heads against the brick wall for as long as we can take it. But that time is growing shorter and shorter. And eventually, the working class, the oppressed, the people who are tired of working and slaving away all day, every day, for the benefit of just a few rich fucks, you're going to get tired. You're going to get sick of it. You're going to snap. And really, we don't really have anything to lose. What, our TVs and our cars? The things that we're told we should care about but ultimately don't fucking matter at all? Content to sit in our little cocoons wrapped in feel-good sitcoms where the biggest problem is the teenage daughter getting a pimple the day of prom? Watching images of giant fucking bombs being dropped and being glad that those big, beautiful explosions are making us safer, and ignoring the mass murder going on in the streets outside? Be born. Go to school. Learn what they want you to learn. Eat. Work. Sleep. Breed more workers. Buy more shit. Retire. Die. That's the life cycle of the human drone. Oh, and if you step out of line, or you're not feeling like this is working for you, well, you can take this pill. This pill will make you docile enough. If you really step out of line, well, we got a special place for people like you. That's all it is. It's all about the money. It's always about the money. All of life. It's what we are. We're fucking ants in a colony. And our entire existence is literally just to make other people rich. And then we find happiness. We find happiness where we can. With our kids, our hobbies. And that's great. I don't begrudge any of that. But at the same time, something's got to give, man. We got to change something. We're literally going to die because of this. Because of capitalism. All right. Well, it's been fun. I'm glad I was able to do this with you guys today. Feel free to tweet at me. Mostly_accurate. Facebook.com/a mostly accurate view. Email a mostly accurate view@gmail.com. You can talk to me. Tell me something. Interact with me. Like I said, I'm not going to be doing podcasts as regularly. Once in a while, we will. I'm going to figure out a new identity where we want to go with this whole thing. But occasionally, I'll still do a AMAV podcast here and there when the mood strikes. I'm glad I was able to do this one today. And I'm glad you guys were able to join me. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. And as always, keep talking, keep thinking, keep moving forward. Have a great day.
I was so depressed, and I read God's Bible, and I turned to the Book of Revelation. And if people would just get and read the Bible and read the Book of Revelation, they would really turn around and straighten up. This is all we need to do, is just get the good book and read it.
Sisters, niggas, whiteys, Jews, crackers, don't worry, if there's hell below, we're all gonna go.
They say don't worry. But they keep talking about